And good morning to everyone. Let me give you some background information about who's on the court today. Justice Stacy is recused from the first case of the day, and Justice Castle is recused from the very last case of the day. Justice Funk will be participating on the briefs for all of today's cases. And in the meantime, the court is being joined by District Court Judge Luther from Grand Island and District Court Judge O'Gorman from Alliance, and they will be participating on all of today's cases, and we want to especially thank them for their help and support for the court. With that, we will begin with the first argument of the day, which is Nesbitt versus Frakes. Mr. Ertz, good morning to you. You may proceed. You may approach and you may proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor, and may it please the court. This case is moot. We ask the court here today to adopt a general rule that's been applied in courts all over the country, and that rule is that when an inmate is transferred or released from incarceration at a particular correctional facility, his or her claims for injunctive and declaratory relief related to conditions of confinement at that particular facility become moot. In this case, Mr. Nesbitt filed a civil complaint in Lancaster County District Court in 2015 challenging conditions at the Nebraska State Penitentiary where he was housed, specifically the conditions in the administrative confinement housing section, and he calls that segregated housing. At some point during the pendency of this case, and it's not exactly clear from the record, Mr. Nesbitt transferred ultimately to the Omaha Correctional Center, where he remains housed today. This transfer moots his claims, and he acknowledges this transfer occurred at the hearing on motion to alter or amend in his opening and reply brief in this case. As far as I could tell this, and as far as I have read Nebraska law, specific issue, the transfer of an inmate and mooting a conditions of confinement case, has never been specifically ruled upon by this court. The closest case that I could find was Johnston versus Nebraska Department of Correctional Services, and that dealt with an inmate petition for judicial review of administrative confinement status after a dismissal of misconduct. This court declared that case was moot because the inmate had been transferred out of the administrative confinement status during the pendency of the case, and there was no existing facts upon which the inmate's claim rested.
How specific were the allegations in this case? Were they specific to the particular facility?
Yes, Your Honor, and I would point the court directly to the section entitled Relief in Mr. Nesbitt's complaint. That's on page 11-14. Specifically, I point the court to paragraph 4. And Mr. Nesbitt says, Plaintiff Nesbitt requests on his and other similarly situated NSP segregated prisoners a restraining order, temporary injunction be finally and immediately issued. Then he discusses housing unit 4 galleries allegedly overcrowded. He says that housing unit 4 and 9 are allegedly unsafe, alleged riotous conditions. He says that there are inadequate showering facilities in the same housing units. And he also, I guess, complains about overcrowding in the entire state penitentiary, which we disagree with.
So what does that mean, if he complained about the entire system?
No, I'm sorry, Your Honor, just the state penitentiary itself.
Okay.
With that, and I guess I should also mention to the court specifically that Mr. Nesbitt mentions in his amended complaint that he should have been transferred to the Omaha Correctional Center. He receives that transfer at some point during the pendency of this case. As far as I can tell, he's gotten what he wants, other than, I guess, to release from incarceration.
You made reference earlier that this is the rule that has been adopted by, did you say, many other jurisdictions?
Yes, Your Honor. Specifically, this occurs in the 1983 context, and I cited in my brief Smith versus Hundley from the Eighth Circuit. That case dealt with a transfer to another facility. That case follows Martin versus Sargent, also out of the Eighth Circuit. That's not cited in the brief, but it is cited in Smith versus Hundley, and I can give the court the cite of 780 F. 2nd 334. That's a 1985 case. And then the Eighth Circuit had also declared in Hickman versus Missouri, and that's also cited in Smith versus Hunley, that release on parole or release from incarceration would also moot any claims for injunctive and declaratory relief related to a particular conditions of confinement at a particular correctional facility.
Do you know what form of action Hickman was?
I think it's a 1983 case. I believe it may be a 1983 or an 88 case.
Okay. Thank you.
And so I think this rule is even more important than this case. The case is moot because Mr. Nesbitt has sued all the defendants in their individual and official capacities, but only served them, and we've only appeared on their behalf in their individual capacities. So with these officials, I guess four of the officials only being at the state penitentiary, this rule is even more applicable. And so I guess after Nesbitt has been transferred, his claims related to the state penitentiary have become moot. And now I will acknowledge that this court has said, that, especially in Johnston, that there was no damages claim in that case. We don't believe there is a damages claim in this case. If there were, we would acknowledge that there wouldn't be a mootness argument to be made for that. But if there even is some sort of damages claim in this case, it would be barred because Nesbitt has not complied with the State Tort Claims Act, and the Nebraska State Tort Claims Act, as construed by this court, does not permit individual capacity lawsuits against state employees in their individual capacities when acting within the course and scope of their
employment. Was there money sought in this case?
I think he obliquely mentions restitution about some sort of alleged property issue, but he doesn't actually seek money damages that I can tell from the relief in his complaint. That's pages 11 to 14. That's Roman numeral 2. As far as I can tell, it was all injunctive relief, and he wanted the conditions of confinement changed, and those have changed since he has been transferred to the Omaha Correctional Center. And that's where he remains today. It's been about a year and 6 months since his transfer, as far as I can tell.
Do you think his allegations would be applicable to other prisoners? Is there any public interest in the issues?
And so I think this court should follow the Johnston decision in that respect, which was to not apply the public interest doctrine. And I think it's what this court said in Johnston was that the likelihood of a future reoccurrence could be fully litigated by another inmate. And I don't think there has been a lot of these cases that have made it to this court, so I don't think that the public interest exception should be applied here.
Well, but they may not have made it to this court because they're getting mooted out. I'm not implying ill will. I'm just saying time passes.
Yes, I understand, Your Honor. I guess, and I don't know if there's, I think there'd be speculation that any other prisoner, experiences the same issues that Mr. Nesbitt does. In my experience handling some of these inmate lawsuits, there are cases where inmates file complaints together, and that did not happen in this case. It's Mr. Nesbitt filing on his own behalf and then attempting to join some 500 some other inmates.
Even if we were to apply the public interest exception, all we are reviewing is a 12B6 dismissal for failure to state a claim, and consequently, we would have nobody to carry on the suit.
I would agree. That's exactly right. I think the U.S. Supreme Court has said that, too, in an attempt to class action when the named plaintiff is, mooted out or there's no longer any standing, that the whole case becomes moot. And that's, I think, what should happen here. And if there are no further questions, we'd ask that or affirm the judgment of the district court.
Thank you very much. I failed to ask at the beginning if there was anyone here today on behalf of Mr. Nesbitt. I assume that is not the case, so we will go on to the next case of the day, which is